to episode 2 of Bee Boomer Unleashed. I'm your host, Jerry Lake, the Unleashed Baby Boomer. And wow, we finally got episode 1 published. That was an ordeal. And we got it out and up and running and live. And boy, we're thankful that we were able to do that. And we got some great comments from our listeners, those who tuned in to the podcast. We had some great suggestions. We're going to try to implement some of those as we go along, and we really appreciate those comments. So first thing we're going to do today is talk a little bit about some of those comments that you all sent in to me and some of those suggestions. First of all, let me wish everyone a happy new year. We're into the new year now, and today here where we sit, it's January 7th, 2019, and we hope everyone has a blessed new year. Questions that came in, audio versus video, that's pretty simple. I have a face for audio and not one for video. But my friend Jed also told me, as we might have mentioned before, that audio podcasts are trending a bit now, and the video is not as convenient. Video podcasts, you have to be sitting in front of a computer or looking at it on a little bitty screen. These you can listen to while you're walking, running, driving down the road, sitting on the toilet, whatever you might want to do. And it's a little more difficult to do that with an audio or with a video podcast. So that's why we're audio versus video. By the way, hopefully you enjoyed the new intro music. We had no music last time. We looked and looked and looked and finally found some place where we could buy audio tracks that we could use into perpetuity. If you need something for a podcast or a project you're working on, I would suggest you check out Pond, P-O-N-D 5, Pond 5. And they have just a kajillion audio and video tracks. Great place for video project too. You can buy the things a la carte, download them on your computer, and use them as many times as you want. And that's just a great site. And there's some nice people that work there at Pond 5 too. Even though I'm certainly small potatoes, they took the time to talk to me about the audio selections and how to use their website. So I recommend them highly. Some people have said, where are some other spots where you might be able to find your podcast? Of course, we're on Bee Boomer Unleashed, all one word, beeboomerunleashed.podbean, podbean.com, beeboomerunleashed.podbean.com. You can also find us on Facebook at Bee Boomer Unleashed. Once again, one word. And if you look us up on Facebook or either one, I would appreciate you liking it if you do. And that you might share it with some of your friends, because that's the way we develop a listenership. So if you like what you hear, you think it's worthwhile, you think this baby boomer might get better as we go along, I would certainly appreciate it if you were to like it and pass it on, share it with others. We also sent it to iTunes just a couple days ago, and sometimes it takes a week or two for them to listen to that and approve it for their site. So hopefully we'll have it on the iTunes podcast list soon. If that happens, we'll certainly let you know when that happens. We're also going to try to open up an Instagram account. I understand that Facebook is for old people, and if we want any young listeners, we might need to go to something like Instagram. So we'll announce those as they come along. And another suggestion we had is that maybe from time to time we might have a guest on the show. And I think that's a great idea. And we've got some folks in mind. And if you'd like to be a guest on the show, just leave me a message on Facebook or Podbean, whichever you want to do. And I would certainly be happy to entertain the idea to have you on as a guest sometime to talk about just about any subject you might want to talk about. and the time that we have. And we're going to target these podcasts to be 25 to 30 minutes in length. I mean, 20 to 30 minutes in length. So sometimes it might be 20, sometimes it might be 30, but we're trying to aim somewhere in the middle at around 25 minutes. Also, requests I have is ideas from listeners. Tell me what you thought about the intro and outro music today. Does that suit the genre that we're trying to look at? Are there other ideas that you might have? Also, ideas from you regarding topics of discussion. We're not just discussing educational issues, although today we're going to try to put a bow on that topic of bullying. Of course, we could talk about it for years and probably never get anything completely solved. But we would like to have ideas from our listeners about subjects we might want to talk about. A friend of mine gave me an idea yesterday. He said, let's talk about clotheslines and hanging clothes out on the clotheslines and how it used to be. Just some of those things the way it was back in the good old days of the baby boomers. And so we'll be talking about some of those. We left off last week our discussion on bullies, and we want to kind of pick up there where we left off. We certainly didn't finish talking about everything that we wanted to talk about. There's it's easy to identify the problem. Certainly, it's easy to identify the problem, but it's not always easy to come up with solutions. And we really would like to talk about some possibilities of some solutions today. And certainly, we don't have all the answers. We don't have many of the answers, to be quite honest with you, but that's what these podcasts are all about, is to get you to maybe thinking about a little bit about what might be something that you could do as a parent or a grandparent to assist in solving this problem of bullying. It's just rampant. And as we talked about social media and the problem that we have with that in bullying, we're going to talk a little bit about that today too. Bullying, like I said, is something that's been going on since Cain rose up and slew Abel. So it's been a perpetual problem, but it's probably more prevalent today than it has before because of the introduction of social media. I don't know if you've ever listened to John Rosemond or not. He has a podcast and a radio show, and he's a smart guy, unlike me. He's an expert in parenting techniques. He has a podcast, a recent one. You might want to go listen to his podcast. It's about kids and cell phones and why his opinion is they shouldn't have a personal PDA. I kind of got to agree with him a little bit, but we're not going to talk about that in depth today. Go listen to his podcast, see what he has to say about it, see if you agree with him, see if you don't. If you don't agree with him, send him nasty emails or something telling him you don't agree with him. But if you agree with him, give him a pat on the back. I will tell you this, bullying in the schools is not a problem that the teachers and the school administration can take care of. You say, that's their job. They're supposed to take care of that. Listen, let me tell you something. I started teaching in 1973, and I just retired June 30th of this past year, and I was a teacher, an assistant principal, a principal, and like I said, finished the last 6 years of my life on the dark side. I was at the central office, manager of the service personnel in human resources. But it's not a problem that teachers can take care of, or the principal, or the vice principal. Now, we can assist in taking care of that problem, but we certainly can't take care of it. I want you to think about it. Teachers, teaching, I'm going to tell you, teaching is the hardest job that I've ever had. Teachers are overworked, underpaid, under a lot of stress. There are some great teachers out there. Now, we've got some stinkers that shouldn't be teachers, but by and large, we have good teachers out there. And they are, like I say, overworked, underpaid for what they do. I mean, you know, you give them 28, 30 kids in a classroom, all different learning abilities, everything from very gifted to the child who might be a little bit slower or have some learning disabilities. And as a teacher, we're supposed to connect and contact with all those kids. But here's the thing. Think about it. Every societal ill that's come along in the past, oh, I don't know, 40, 50 years, past 40 or 50 years, we have expected the schools to take care of it. The teachers, the principals, it's your job, take care of it. Say, well, what do you mean, Jerry? Well, let's think about it. You've got, back in my day, it was a smoking problem. All these kids smoked. Now, I don't know how I escaped it. I never even had a drag off of a cigarette, but everybody around me did. I'm not like President Clinton when it came to the marijuana either. He said he had marijuana, but he didn't inhale. I never had any of that either. I don't know how I escaped it. Just by the grace of God, I escaped that. But when the smoking problem, when they realized it was a problem, when they finally put warning labels on cigarettes, guess who was supposed to take care of that? Schools. Got to have a program. Got to teach kids the dangers. Health class, got to teach them the dangers of smoking. Then there was the drugs that came along back in the 60s, in my neck of the woods. Of course, you know, drugs have been prevalent for years and years, even longer than that, but it became a real problem in my neck of the woods here in West Virginia back in the early 60s, and it was marijuana, and I remember, there were guys in my high school who sold marijuana. And that was, I graduated from high school in 1968, so this is not a new phenomenon. Now, heroin is something that they did in New York City. They didn't do that in Barbersville, West Virginia. They did that in New York City. We'd only heard about that. Now, Huntington, West Virginia is the heroin capital of the United States and maybe the world. I don't know. Overdoses abound. And it's from the Detroit connection that's come down the highway and brought their drugs to Huntington, West Virginia. And that's a problem. But when the drug problem came, hey, public schools, teach the kids, just say no. Just say no. Teach them to just say no. Well, that only goes so far. And certainly that is the answer to just say no. But unfortunately, that's not the total answer to the problem. So the drug problem came along, and it's just say no. Just say no. Then we have teen sex. Teen sex. Oh, my, these teenagers are having sex. They're having babies when they're in school, and yada blada, and the list goes on. Hey, who's supposed to take care of this? Well, the schools will take care of it. These teachers will take care of that. That's their job. They get the big bucks. We'll let them take care of that problem, too. Then we've got gender identity. That's the big one today, isn't it? Gender identity. Whether I'm a guy or whether I'm a girl or whether I'm gay or whether I'm straight or whatever it might be. Hey, guess who's going to figure that out? The public schools, the teachers, the principals, they're going to figure that out. They're going to teach the kids what's right. Whoa, wait a minute. What happened to the parents? Where did all the parents go? Where did all the parents go? You know, my dad, God rest his soul, he's the finest man I ever met in my life. He passed away Christmas Eve 2012, and he was my mentor, my guide, my teacher, my best friend in life. And I remember when I got old enough to be going out and running around on my own with my friends, he would always tell me somewhere before we left, he'd say, "Son, remember, the only thing we have, we don't have much money, we don't have many goods, but we have a good name. We have a good name. And don't go out and ruin that in one night. Don't drag the family name through the mud." And you know what? Because he was my mentor, because he was my friend, because I knew he loved me, then, you know, that kept me out of a lot of trouble, kept me out of a lot of places I would have liked to have gone to. But he didn't, you know, he didn't approve of that. And I said, "Whew, man, your dad would never find out. He'd never find out. He wouldn't know. Let me tell you something. My dad, when I would go out, he'd say, "Hey, son, where are you going to be? Who are you going to see? Who are you going to be with?" And he never made it public, and nobody else knew but me. But every once in a while, not every time, but every once in a while, when I was supposed to be somewhere, I saw my dad cruising by in the old Chevy pickup truck just to make sure that I was where I said I was going to be. I remember getting my first speeding ticket. Now you get a speeding ticket, oh, the cop framed me, you know, it's a bad deal. The parents pay it and go on along with it. But I remembered I was in a 1964 Rambler American, little old thing with three on the tree. You baby boomers will know what that three on the tree is. And I was doing 45 miles per hour in a 25 mile per hour zone. And I got pulled over and stopped by a state policeman. I'll never forget that day. Pulls me over and said, "You're going a little fast there, son." I said, "Yes, sir." So he writes me a ticket. And back in the day, that ticket was $16.50, which I didn't have. So my dad agreed to pay the ticket for me, but I had a beagle, I had a rabbit dog, and I had to trade him the rabbit dog to pay for the ticket. You know, he didn't just fork it out. Now, let me go on and talk about that a bit. My dad, when I told him, when I ratted myself out about getting the ticket because there was no way I could pay for it, I didn't have $16.50. That was $150 back in 1966. He said, "Let me ask you something. I need to know one thing." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Did you smart off to the police officer? Did you smart off to him? Or were you polite?" And I said, I was polite, sir. I was very, very respectful. So he has the ticket in his hand and goes to the phone. Old rotary dial phone back in those days. You baby boomers will remember what the rotary dial phone looked like. And he picked up that ticket, and he called the state police headquarters and asked if he could speak to that state policeman. And I'm going, "Oh, man, what's going on here?" So the policeman happened to be at the barracks at the time, and Dad asked him this question. He said, this is Mr. Lake. And he said, "You just gave my son a speeding ticket here a couple of hours ago. And I just have one question for you." He says, "Was my son respectful to you, or did he smart off to you? Was he a smart aleck? I just need to know that." And I'm thinking, "Oh, God, please let this cop tell the truth." And so he said, "No, Mr. Lake, he is very much a gentleman. He was very polite, very respectful." So Dad gets off the phone and he says, "Well, I appreciate you telling the truth. So because of that, I'm only going to take the car keys." Of course, I didn't have a car. I got to drive Dad's and Mom's car occasionally, the 64 Rambler American. He said, "I'm only going to take your keys for a month instead of 6 months." Now, if you had smarted off to him, it might have been a different story. That's what parents are supposed to do. Now, if you have a problem with a child, "Oh, my child won't lie. My child, my child is perfect. My child is little Mr. or Miss Perfect. They wouldn't lie." Well, I'm going to tell you something. Usually a teenager, now some of them don't lie much, but they all lie. And usually you can tell a teenager's lying because their lips are moving. So, you know, today you get a different response from parents. You know, a kid gets a speeding ticket today and the parent wants to go fight it in traffic court. Well, my child wouldn't do that. Your radar was wrong. You've tried to frame my kid. Whatever it is. God forbid that a parent would sit down and talk to their child about drugs, about premarital sex, sex among teenagers. And the problem is, and we're not going to get through this discussion today. We're going to have to do at least one more episode on it because I really haven't gotten to where I want to get. But I think we've set the background for it here, set a good stage, set a develop some groundwork here. But the problem we have today is that the parenting of children, by and large, now there are some great parents out there. I know some of them. And they still raise their kids or rear their children, however you want to talk about it or however you want to say that, the way that our parents did. They still hold their children accountable for what they're doing. But the problem is, across the United States today, there are more than 13 million children living with their grandparents. Hello? 13 million children living with their grandparents. That means that 2.5 million grandparents every day are taking on the responsibilities required to raise these children. It's not their job. I have five grandchildren. You know what my job is as a grandparent? Is to love these kids. And we have a great time when we're with them. My job is not to parent these kids. I parented my children. It's their job to parent these kids. And it's not fair for the grandparents. It's not fair for the grandparents to have to parent these children. They've already done their, they've already served their time. They've already done their stint of being a parent. There's a reason that young people have children, because they have the energy to deal with them. But today, these children, 13 million of them, and a number growing every day, that are living with grandparents, and grandparents' job is supposed to be able to spoil those grandkids, not to be a sole source of authority. It just never ceases to amaze me. And you say, well, why are these grandparents raising these kids today? Well, you know why. Because mom and dad are laying around on drugs somewhere. Sometimes it's a divorce, and the parents go their separate ways, and mom or dad have to move back in with their mom or dad, and then the grandparents are in the home, which is a little different dynamic than the grandparents raising the children totally by themselves. But parents are abdicating their responsibility of raising children to the grandparents. And I'm going to tell you, it's just not fair. It's just not fair. Can I say that again? It's just not fair. There, I did. These grandparents shouldn't be burdened with the responsibility of parenting these kids. They should be enjoying grandparenting these kids. Wow. I didn't get where I wanted to go today, but we have set some groundwork. Next podcast, and right now I'm going to try to get out one a week. Once I learn the intricacies of putting this publication together, we'll maybe do it more often. But we're going to have some guests in the future. We're going to have some different topics. I need your feedback, and most of all, I need you to listen and like it and share it with your friends. And I promise you that each episode we'll try our best. We'll try our very best to be better. Hey, I appreciate you coming this way again today. You're pretty tough. You suffered through episode one, and you saw fit to come back to episode two. And I, for one, appreciate it. I want you all to just have a great day, a great week. Hopefully, we'll have another podcast for you to listen to next week. And we're going to pick up right where we left off, but we're going to talk about grandparents raising children and some of the things that grandparents, if you're a grandparent, tune in. If you're raising one of your grandchildren, tune in, because we're going to tell you some things in the next episode, the next podcast, that might revolutionize your opportunity that you have to parent these kids. Hey, thanks again for tuning in. God bless you. Have a great day.